kväll. Vem vann egentligen Gulfkriget om Kuwait för 5 år sedan? Det frågar Storbritanniens tidigare premiärminister Margaret Thatcher i slutet av den dokumentärserie som vi nu ska börja sända. Av de ledande figurerna i kriget om Kuwait så är det ju faktiskt bara Iraks diktator Saddam Hussein som fortfarande sitter kvar vid makten. Annars så blev ju Gulfkriget eller operation Ökenstorm politiskt en uppvisning i vad den nya världsordningen kunde åstadkomma politiskt. Och vad modern västerländsk vapenteknologi kunde åstadkomma mot Iraks huvudsakligen sovjetiska vapen. Alla minns vi ju dramat som varade i 7 månader från den irakiska invasionen i Kuwait till dess de irakiska soldaterna deserterade i 10 000-tal eller bombades på dödens väg när de försökte fly. Den här serien om 4 program om Gulfkriget är en inträngande skildring av ett dramatiskt skede i vår nutidshistoria. Se den. Se den och lär att höga politiker och presidenter inte alltid är så kloka som vi hoppas. Se den och förvånas över att det inte var militärerna som ville ta till vapen. Se den här serien under 4 måndagar och lär er ännu mer om hur världen styrs och hur krig avgörs.
För 5 år sedan stod det 2 arméer stridsberedda mitt bland Kuwaits brinnande oljekällor. Striden gällde oljefälten i hela Mellanöstern. Det var ett krig där vapnen gav en antydan om hur mänskligheten kommer att föra krig på 2000-talet. Ett krig där USA äntligen kunde skingra spökena från Vietnamkriget och få tillbaka tron på sin militära styrka. Ett krig som satte stopp för en diktator som ville skaffa sig kärnvapen. Och ett krig som i hög grad skulle prägla den värld vi lever i. Det här är berättelsen om det kriget. Åtta veckor innan Saddam Hussein orsakade krig i Mellanöstern tog han emot sin granne, emiren av Kuwait. Emiren härskade över ett av världens rikaste länder. Kuwait hade mindre än 1 miljon medborgare, men en tiondel av världens oljetillgångar. Saddam var en diktator med långtgående ambitioner. I 8 år hade han fört krig mot Iran. Nu, 2 år senare, satsade han Iraks väldiga oljeintäkter på att utveckla kärnvapen och rusta upp en miljonarmé. Han ville utmana Israel och få hela Mellanöstern under sin kontroll. Men de brittiska och amerikanska regeringarna ansåg att han var en diktator som de kunde göra affärer med.
Vi hade tänkt att denna man har fought a war against Iran for 8 years. During those 8 years, something like 500,000 young people have been killed. 500,000 on both sides. Surely after that, he can't go and have another military operation.
The idea that on a Sunday afternoon or something, I was going to stroll into the Oval and go, oh, by the way, Mr. President, Saddam Hussein is going to mass 100,000 plus forces and is going to walk into Kuwait and is going to make this the 19th province of Iraq. And this is going to be the major test of the post-Cold War world. That was too big. It was too dramatic.
Men i maj 1990 kämpade Saddam för att överleva. Hans militära projekt ledde till att Irak levde över sina tillgångar. Oljepriset rasade. Om 3 månader skulle landet vara bankrutt. Saddam skyllde på emiren som lät marknaden översvämmas av billig olja. Billig olja betydde större vinster för de tusentals bolag som Kuwait ägde i västvärlden. Senare, när dagsfrågorna var avklarade, samlade Saddam arabledarna till ett privat möte. När tv-kamerorna tagits bort uppmanade han emiren att sluta med att pressa ner oljepriset.
He said each dollar less in price means to us 1 billion and revenues for a year. If you do not mean waging a war against Iraq, please stop it.
Medan ekonomin gick mot ett sammanbrott anordnade Saddam väldiga massmöten för att piska upp en folkstorm mot Kuwait. Men emiren var obeveklig. Saddam och hans närmaste män misstänkte att man ville krossa regimen i Irak innan den blev ett hot mot Israel.
By the end of June we started to realize that there is a conspiracy against Iraq, a deliberate conspiracy against Iraq by Kuwait, organized, devised by the United States.
I could not foresee a military invasion of Kuwait, but things had gotten to a point where I felt that there was real danger of something totally disastrous happening in the region.
Saddam sammankallade regimens ledande män. Man beslöt att om inte Kuwait omedelbart betalade 10 miljarder dollar skulle Irak invadera landet.
It was quite clear to everybody. Iraq had no choice but to act, either to be destroyed, to be suffocated and strangled inside its territory, or attack the enemy on the outside. That was the calculation, and I think it was a correct one.
Saddam gav Iraks republikanska garde order om att gå söderut mot gränsen till Kuwait. Gardet var den irakiska arméns elitförband. De var utrustade med moderna sovjetiska stridsvagnar. I Mellanöstern var det bara Israels armé som kunde visa upp samma styrka. På kort tid hade Irak koncentrerat 30 000 man vid gränsen mot Kuwait. En brittisk diplomat på genomresa såg dem och informerade USA:s militära underrättelsetjänst.
Our first indication came from a human intelligence source, a very reliable one, who identified three Republican Guard divisions moving south toward Kuwait.
I Washington satt snart USA:s högste militär och studerade bilder från en spionsatellit för att bilda sig en uppfattning om Iraks planer.
Over the next few days, over a relatively short period of time, more and more information came forward that started to put these pieces in place. Artillery was coming forward. Logistics units were being seen. Signals networks were coming up to the point that finally it could not be ignored. And I called General Schwarzkopf and said, Norm, are you looking at what I'm looking at? And he says, yes.
It was only when we started to see this pattern of the type of forces that you would need to conduct an operation being grouped together geographically on the ground that it became very apparent that what you were seeing emerging was a military plan.
Nyheterna vidarebefordrades till George Bush, som då var inne på sitt andra år som president. Bilderna röjde inte Saddams avsikter, men presidenten och hans säkerhetsrådgivare Brent Scowcroft visste att livsviktiga intressen stod på spel.
The notion of Iraq, which was an oil powerhouse in itself, acquiring the Kuwaiti resources and thus perhaps being able to dominate OPEC was a tremendous danger.
Men hjälpen var inte långt borta. När orosmolnen tornade upp sig skyndade en av USA:s främsta bundsförvanter i Mellanöstern till Bagdad. Än en gång spelade militärorkestern och den röda mattan rullades ut. Egyptens president Hosni Mubarak var utsänd av arabstaterna för att ta reda på vad Saddam hade för planer. Det blev ett möte som skulle få långtgående konsekvenser.
I met with Saddam Hussein. He met me in the airport. Then he took me in the car. He was driving this beside him. Nobody with us. Until we went to one of the palaces near the lake there. And we went upstairs to the first floor. In a big room, and we were both alone, nobody with us. I asked him about what the problem, What's happening? I told him, do you have any intention to attack them in Vietnam? He told me, no, but don't tell the Kuwaitis about that. It was a very clear answer.
Så snart Mubarak hade lämnat Irak ringde han upp Vita huset och meddelade att Saddam bluffade. Mubarak sa till Bush att den irakiske presidenten var i desperat behov av pengar men att arabstaterna kunde lösa problemen. Brent Scowcroft minns när samtalet kom.
There was some urgency to his call and what he was really saying is, you know, don't jump in this thing. Just let it work its way out. You got to handle this guy right.
So while we were worrying about it and starting to make military plans, in the political diplomatic world, we were being told not to worry about it.
President Mubarak fortsatte till Kuwait, där emiren oroligt väntade på besked. Så snart de blev ensamma berättade emiren vilka påtryckningar han utsatts för.
He told me that Saddam Hussein asked me to give him $10 billion cash. He told me I cannot bring $10 billion cash now. Anyway, I told him what happened between me and Saddam. And even I told him there is no intention to attack Kuwait, as Saddam said. But he told me, don't tell him. But I told them because they were terrified.
When we made general offers to the Kuwaitis of military support, their response was, stay away from us. We can handle this. We can handle this together with our Arab brothers. The most we'll have to deal with is problems at the Arab League. We'll negotiate this. Don't take actions that will provoke the Iraqis to do what we fear they might do.
Nästa dag kallade Saddam Hussein till sig USA:s ambassadör. Ingenting av det som April Glaspy sa fick irakierna att tänka om. Hon upprepade att USA inte skulle acceptera något våld. Mer hade hon inte befogenhet att säga.
The idea that April Glaspy, with no instructions to do so, could have told Saddam Hussein, "You send one tank across that border and my president we'll send a 500,000 U.S. men and women and kick your butt back across into Iraq." She would have been laughed out of the room.
När mötet slutade tillkännagav Saddam att man skulle inleda samtal med Kuwaitierna.
The president wanted to send a message to George Bush that we are not the enemies of the United States. We do not intend to threaten the interest of the United States. We do not intend to threaten our neighbors. There was a crisis with Kuwait and we hoped and we really wanted to solve it peacefully.
Glaspy telegraferade till Washington. Saddam är oroad. Det vore klokt av oss att tona ner den officiella kritiken tills vi ser hur förhandlingarna avlöper. Telegrammet nådde presidentens Mellanösternrådgivare i ett kritiskt ögonblick.
I had actually written a memo to the president saying we're getting all this intelligence, obviously concerned, when suddenly the cable from April Glaspy came. And what I did was I scribbled on the top of the memo, what I've written you may be a little bit OBE, overtaken by events, Mr. President, because things look a little bit calmer now. April's just come in with the cable, essentially saying, I think this situation's going to wind down. We Americans need to sit tight and not overreact.
Styrkan på 30 000 man vid gränsen mot Kuwait växte till 100 000, men ingen gjorde någonting. I 7 dagar vidhöll arabvärldens ledare att det hela var en bluff. Politiker i London och Washington som hade haft med Saddam att göra valde att hellre fria än fälla. 1 augusti avbröt Irak förhandlingarna i Saudiarabien. Saddam utfärdade sina order.
Men jamaana بالليل نفسها بالليل نريد نحرك بها الكويت جمعونا الساعة بالأربعة العصر جمعونا المنضة الرمل وكاتبين أسماء المناطق الكويت على المنضدة وبعدين هم كان يشرف على المنضدة الرائد غازي آمر فوجنا بعدين من وقفنا جمع الفوج من المنضدة هو قال لنا قال احنا الحكومة الكويتية راح تتغير وطالبين نعون نعاون الحكومة الكويتية لترتيب الحكومة الجديدة.
General Wafik al-Samarai hade så gott som dagliga möten med Saddam. Idag lever han i exil. Han minns att Saddam noga kontrollerade sina beräkningar.
كان يعتقد بأن ردود الفعل ستنحصر وتتراجع تدريجيا أي تخف تدريجيا. كان يعتقد بأن حرب فيتنام ألحقت ضررا كبيرا في القوات الأمريكية وفي السياسة الأمريكية وكانت هزيمة لأمريكا هزيمة سياسية وعسكرية.
Vid samma tid togs den här bilden av en spionsatellit. Underrättelseanalytiker i USA sökte efter baser där hundratals irakiska stridsvagnar dragit samman. Men när man hittade baserna var det tomt. Stridsvagnspåren ledde mot Kuwait. Pentagon gav order om högsta beredskap.
We issued WatchCon 1. It was the first time the DIA, since the system was established, had gone to WatchCon 1 because we wanted to make it very clear that this was a different condition. The build-up was complete. We would receive no more warning, but the invasion was imminent.
Det kom in fler fotografier. Irakiska attackhelikoptrar hade dragit samman på flygfält där man hade Kuwait inom räckhåll. USA:s försvarsminister sammankallade sina generaler.
I explained to them that I was quite sure that this was a plan. I couldn't guarantee them that they were going to invade, but I felt that all the indications were there that they were going to invade.
As I walked out of that meeting with Secretary Cheney, I said, Dick, this cannot be just a feint, and we've got to try to get some kind of message off immediately.
I was essentially deputized to go back to the White House to meet with Scowcroft and the president and to convince them to take one last shot at trying to influence Saddam. And just as we were talking about what exactly he would say to Saddam in this last effort to get him to think twice before doing anything, that's when the phone rang. Saying, we just heard from our people in Kuwait, shooting has started, this war, whatever it is, has begun.
Det republikanska gardets stridsvagnar började spärra av staden. Specialförband landsattes med helikopter på stränderna och intog viktiga regeringsbyggnader. Emiren hade minskat sin armé för att inte provocera Saddam. Många kuwaitiska officerare var på semester utomlands. Och Iraks planering hade varit noggrann.
وصلنا للمجلس الوطني لقينا الباب مسدود وما به حراسات مقفول وما به حراسات ايضا كان تقدمنا عندنا معلومات كامله عنهم الجيش مالهم الساعه 6 يستلم الاسلحه مالته ويلزم الواجبات احنا دخلنا بالوقت ما كان في جيش كانت اكو حراسات كلش بسيطه وايضا كانت الحراسات الموجوده يمكن نايمين
I received a call from a friend in the foreign ministry, and he told me that the foreign minister said that now, and stress now, is the time for the U.S. to act. And I said to him, there may have been a time to act yesterday, there may be a time to act in the future, but I don't know what we can do right now.
Ett fåtal kuwaitiska förband försökte försvara emiren och hans palats, men blev snabbt utslagna av irakiskt pansar. Emiren flydde i bil med bara några minuters marginal.
بعد مرور خمس دقائق طبعا انا كنت اجري اتصالات بين وقت ووقت بين من السياره الى غرفه عمليات الحرس. بعد خمس دقائق مو اكثر بهالاتصال اللي بعد خمس دقائق تبلغت من غرفة عمليات الحرس الأميري إن القوات العراقية اشتبكت مع قوات الحرس الأميري اللي موجودة.
Emiren och hans livvakt flydde mot Saudi-Arabien och försvann i rusningstrafik. Den irakiska underrättelsetjänsten hade trott att emiren skulle tillfångatas och hade redan bestämt vad man skulle göra med honom.
القسم الآخر من السموم هو الثاليوم وهذا الثاليوم هو الذي يؤثر تأثيرا شديدا على الجهاز العصبي وممكن أن يودي بمن يتناوله خلال شهر واحد أو حتى أقل وحصلت هكذا حالات كثيرة تجاه المعارضة.
Vid middagstid hade Saddam Hussein tagit kontrollen över en femtedel av världens oljetillgångar.
Saddam probably figured the Arab world and the world at large would bitch and moan for a couple of days, and then people would get used to it. And the world would essentially learn to live with it. And the United States, which had left Lebanon a decade before and so forth, was not going to do anything. And even if the United States wanted to do something, the local Arabs would never do anything. They would never work with the United States and stand up to Saddam. So I think Saddam took the pretty intelligent decision that he could probably get away with it.
Yeah, Helen.
Do you contemplate intervention as one of your options?
We're not discussing intervention. I would not discuss any military options.
Presidenten sammankallade nationella säkerhetsrådet för att besluta vad man skulle göra. Men det förvirrade svar som George Bush hade gett pressen angav tonen för mötet. Diskussionen var osammanhängande och mötet blev resultatlöst.
We really needed some time to come to grips with this basic fundamental question of our strategic assessment of what this meant. Did it matter that he'd taken Kuwait?
To put it bluntly, what we ultimately did, sending 500,000 people around the world and all that entailed, that was too big of a thought for people at that first meeting even to think about. So instead, you had people talking all over the place, many of whom were talking about how we could live with this.
Presidenten åkte till Aspen I Colorado där han skulle hålla tal.
The president was way out in front of most of his advisors. He felt the same way I did about it, about the sort of resigned tone of the meeting, and that there was no sense of outrage or no sense of imperative.
Men nu kom det första av en rad olyckliga sammanträffanden för Saddam Hussein. I Aspen fanns också en annan ledare.
George Bush just said to me, Margaret, what is your view? And so indeed I told him that aggressors must be stopped. Not only stopped, but they must be thrown out. An aggressor cannot gain from his aggression. He must be thrown out, and really, by that time in my mind, I thought we ought to throw him out so decisively that he could never think of doing it again.
It was like two soulmates finding each other. They found from the very first words that they were exactly on the same wavelength, that this was a tremendously serious event, that it could not be tolerated, and something had to be done.
Presidenten avslöjade ingenting för pressen, men han började redan luta mot en intervention. Margaret Thatcher minns att hon sa att Saddam Hussein kunde bli en ny Hitler och måste stoppas. Det var ord som stärkte presidentens beslutsamhet.
Don't forget, George Bush fought bravely in the last war. He knew what it was like to fight. He was injured. So he knew if you didn't turn out an aggressor, then you could have simply terrible consequences for future generations.
Bush återvände till Washington. USA:s senaste krig var inte kriget mot Hitler, utan fiaskot I Vietnam. Trots det möttes nu presidenten och hans rådgivare I Vita huset och på Camp David för att ta de första stegen mot krig. Chefen för CIA presenterade uppgifter som skakade om de församlade.
Over 100,000 Iraqi troops had found their way south of Kuwait City, indicating yet another intention beyond the invasion of Kuwait, either to terrorize Saudi Arabia or to actually invade it.
Well, one of the first questions was, is he going to stop at the borders of Kuwait, Saddam? Is he going to stop there, or is he likely to go on into Saudi Arabia and move down to the oil fields?
We had no idea what he was going to do. Everybody'd been dead wrong with respect to the question of whether or not he was going to invade Kuwait, and he'd invaded Kuwait, and you had 140,000 Iraqi troops on the Saudi border.
The key decision that came out of that meeting is, we will defend Saudi Arabia. There was no debate about that. The question I then posed is, then what? Are we prepared, should we be prepared to go forward and fight for Kuwait?
Presidenten gav inget svar. Colin Powell hade formats av Vietnamkriget. Han var rädd att militären åter skulle köra fast i ett impopulärt krig långt borta från USA.
For those of us who were Vietnam veterans, we all have a view that says if you're going to put us into something, then you owe the armed forces, you owe the American people. A clear statement of what political objective you're trying to achieve.
Initially, anyway, General Powell was not as concerned about the crisis as I was. He, in fact, was more of an advocate of sanctions as opposed to military force. The senior military leadership understands better than anybody else that if, in fact, you're going to use military force, you're going to suffer casualties. It's almost impossible not to. And it's their people that are hurt in the process.
I don't recall walking out of that meeting with a decision that the armed forces of the United States now have the mission to prepare to attack into Kuwait to eject the Iraqi army from Kuwait.
Colin Powell reste till Washington för att organisera de styrkor som skulle försvara Saudiarabien. Men Bent Scowcroft stannade kvar hos presidenten på Camp David för att övertala saudierna att ta emot trupperna. På eftermiddagen nästa dag återvände presidenten till Vita huset. Generalerna hoppades fortfarande att man skulle ha släppt tanken på att befria Kuwait och att USA:s åtagande bara skulle gälla försvaret av Saudiarabien.
He motioned me to come out, so I went out there and he said, "What's going on? What have we heard?" And what I essentially reported was that there had been zero progress. He was pretty fired up even before I spoke to him. I think I probably added 10%, but he was pretty much there to begin with. And then he went off, and the "this will not stand" line was not mine. That was his. And that was just his speaking from where he was.
"This will not stand. This will not stand, this aggression against Kuwait."
Generalerna såg hur presidenten gick ut i direktsänd TV och lovade att USA skulle befria Kuwait.
"I've got to go. I have to go to work. I got to go to work."
Satellitbilderna visade nu att det stod två irakiska divisioner vid gränsen mot Saudiarabien. CIA rapporterade att saudierna övervägde eftergifter mot Saddam. Om Irak anföll Saudiarabiens hamnar skulle Saddam få kontrollen över ytterligare en femtedel av världens oljetillgångar.
I asked the Saudi ambassador to come in, and he said that the Saudis weren't at all sure they wanted to be helped by the United States. And he cited a couple of examples where the United States had offered help and then demonstrated enormous weakness. And he said, "Frankly, we're afraid you say you'll help and then the going will get tough and you'll pull out and we'll be left."
Bush skickade sin försvarsminister till Saudiarabien. Dick Cheney och hans delegation med högt uppsatta personer måste göra klart för de saudiska härskarna att de kunde drabbas av samma öde som Kuwait. De sammanträffade med kungen.
"I told the King Fahd that they did not have the luxury of waiting until Saddam began an invasion of Saudi Arabia and then asked for our help, because then it would be too late."
When Norm Schwarzkopf started laying out what we were prepared to send to Saudi Arabia, beginning with 200,000 troops, I just had the sense that Fahd was absolutely stunned.
At the end of that discussion, the king turned and said, "Okay." And I almost fell out of my chair, because I absolutely was sitting there thinking, well, you know, this is going to be, "Thank you very much for the information, we'll let you know." And the king said, "Okay." And I think we all did a double take and went back and said, you know, Secretary Cheney said, "So you agree?" And the king said, "Yes, I agree." We walked out of the meeting and I said to Secretary Cheney, I said, "Sir, I'm prepared to start the flow now. Do you want me to do that?" And Secretary Cheney said, "Yes." And so I turned to Chuck and I said, "Chuck, send them on their way."
Nu började den största truppförflyttningen sedan andra världskriget. Presidenten underströk att syftet var att försvara Saudiarabien, inte att befria Kuwait.
"To assume Iraq will not attack again would be unwise and unrealistic."
If history teaches us anything, it is that we must resist aggression or it will destroy our freedoms. Appeasement does not work. As was the case in the 1930s, we see in Saddam Hussein an aggressive dictator threatening his neighbors.
De första amerikanska planen tankade i luften över den saudiska öknen. Saddam Hussein hade aldrig trott att trupper från USA, Israels främsta allierade, skulle operera från arabisk mark. Men invasionen hade fått regeringarna såväl i väst som i arabvärlden att ta ställning mot Saddam. Snart anlände brittiska, franska och egyptiska trupper. En allians mellan 30 stater började ta form. Om det blev krig skulle Irak förlora, varnade Iraks underrättelsechef. Saddam blev ursinnig.
لا احد يجرؤ ان يقول لصدام انسحب من الكويت ابدا بما فيهم انا لا اقول انسحب ولكن كان يعلق على ذلك بما يلي انتم تتصرفون وكانكم تجار سلاح تروجون للاسلحه الغربيه سيكون النصر حليفنا ان شاء الله.
Saddam lät gripa utlänningar i Kuwait och höll dem som gisslan. På det viset hoppades han skrämma allmänheten i England och USA. Men hans möte med en 7-årig pojke, Stuart Lockwood, retade opinionen i väst.
Stuart and Halim.
Does Stuart get his milk?
Yes, he does.
He patched me on the head and ruffled my hair. I was scared because of the soldiers.
Are you getting your milk, Stuart?
My throat was going all shivering and all that. And I go, so, no, it's going to get me, or something like that. You're going to put me in this room forever with my mum and dad and my brother. I felt really nervous.
Saddam styrde Kuwait på samma sätt som han alltid hade styrt Irak med terror. FN införde sanktioner och uppmanade Saddam att lämna Kuwait. Saddam svarade med att skicka ytterligare 300 000 soldater till Kuwait. Kuwait plundrade systematiskt på sina rikedomar. En del kuwaitier försökte göra motstånd, men bilbomberna följdes av repressalier.
العراقيين ياخذونه مثل هاي يقتلونه فاطا صدام حسين الطامو للقاده قال لهم يا منطقه تثوق معها طلقه ف مثل ما تقول هي مو ضربوها.
Den spirande motståndsrörelsen slog snart ner. Saddams metoder gjorde att Bush kunde upphöja kampen till ett moraliskt korståg.
Summary executions, routine torture, Hitler revisited. America will not stand aside. The world will not allow the strong to swallow up the weak.
Saddam Hussein gjorde sitt första besök i Kuwait. George Bush hade gett CIA klartecken till att börja rekrytera irakiska oppositionella som skulle störta Saddam. Det amerikanska specialförbandet Delta Force försattes i beredskap för att ta sig in i Irak och kidnappa Saddam. Men Saddams säkerhetssystem var för bra.
We did try to target Saddam Hussein. He was a very difficult target. Saddam Hussein moved around a lot. He had a lot of different locations. When you're going to conduct an operation to go in and capture someone, you need a lot of detailed intelligence. And you've got to know what it is you're going about. You certainly have to think of the downside of it is can I do that? And if I can't, do I want to end up with 20 or 30 dead Americans or 50 captured?
President Bush kom allt närmare ett beslut om krig. Han sammanträffade med Mikhail Gorbachev för att be Sovjetunionen att inte ställa sig i vägen om USA började krig mot Irak. Irak tillhördes en gammalt Sovjets allierade, men Gorbachev gav sitt samtycke. Det kalla kriget var över och Gorbachev ville inte äventyra sina förbindelser med USA.
Я, вообще говоря, эту встречу вслед за Мальтой встречаю, отношу к одной из ключевой встреч. Оккупирована страна. Если бы мы не смогли тогда справиться с этой ситуацией, все остальное было бы перечеркнуто. Все.
Without the Soviet Union on board, we never would have been able to marshal the international coalition that we were able to build up. It just gave a completely different dynamic to the whole effort. Instead of being an effort, let's say, by the United States and the United Kingdom to eject Iraq from Kuwait, it was an effort by the entire international community.
Men Gorbachev ville inte ge USA fria händer, utan ställde ett viktigt villkor.
Мы за реализацию всего того, что Совет Безопасности принял. Будем действовать для того, чтобы понудить Ирак считаться с этим. Но в том числе и мы не исключаем и в крайнем случае применение военных мер, но мы акцент должны делать на политическом урегулировании. С тем, чтобы не довести все-таки до военного конфликта.
This is U.S. Navy warship Channel 14. Can you tell us what country your flag does under and your port of registry?
Behovet att knyta Sovjetunionen till alliansen kom att diktera den amerikanska taktiken vid den första konfrontationen. Två irakiska tankbåtar försökte smita förbi 50 krigsfartyg från 12 länder som övervakade att FN-sanktionerna åtlyddes. Krismöte på presidentens sommarställe i Maine. I London hävdade Margaret Thatcher att tankbåtarna borde sänkas, men på sovjetisk begäran valde presidenten en mjukare linje.
The president decided that we would let the ships go. And so he called Prime Minister Thatcher to tell her that. And she says, well, George, all right, I'll accede to this one, but this is no time to go wobbly.
The first time you actually go to the use of force is quite a decision of the person who has to authorize it. And so you do tend to say, well, look, let's just see if there's anything else we can do. And so this was the reason why I said, look, George, this is no time to go wobbly. We'll do it this time, but we can't fall at the first fence, just this time.
En vecka senare kom kung Hussein av Jordanien till London för att utverka en lösning som räddade ansiktet på Saddam. Kungen var en gammal allierad till västmakterna men hade också nära förbindelser med Saddam. Han befarade att ett krig skulle bli slutet för Jordanien, men Margaret Thatcher var obeveklig.
The meeting started with my speaking to her of my views and my attempts and my frustrations, and then she was very quiet for a long period of time, and then she gave me her responses.
He walked into a firestorm. She flew at him. She said that she thought he had calculated entirely wrongly. He had made the wrong decision by encouraging Iraq, by appearing to support Iraq. She gave him the toughest time I think he's ever had in his life.
I had to ask a question. Was it conceivable that you could ever be wrong?
Look, I was not discourteous. I was firm. Very firm indeed.
Men i Washington rådde oenighet. CIA rapporterade i likhet med den brittiska underrättelsetjänsten att det kunde ta 5 år innan sanktionerna ledde till Kuwaits befrielse. Presidenten började betrakta kriget som oundvikligt. Men USAs högste general hade allvarliga betänkligheter. Colin Powell begav sig till Vita huset för att förklara hur långsiktiga sanktioner skulle kunna fungera.
I laid out for him what a sanctions policy might look like and how it would work. He listened intently in that way he has, somewhat slouched in his chair with his chin slightly down. And his response was, well, Colin, that's all very, very interesting. It's good to consider all options, but I just don't think we're going to have time for sanctions to work.
Till och med efter mötet fortsatte Powell att argumentera mot presidentens linje. 2 veckor senare talade Powell med en hög brittisk militär i Pentagon.
Colin Powell said to me that he would be prepared to give sanctions a considerable time to work. And I said, well, how long are we talking about? To my astonishment, Colin Powell said, well, I would give them up to 2 years to work. He said, I don't think we should mount a military operation for at least that length of time, if that's what it takes for the sanctions to work, which he was confident that they would, because he felt there was a real risk of perhaps winning the war, but losing the peace in the Middle East.
Presidenten och hans generaler befann sig på kollisionskurs med varandra. Trupper från USA, Storbritannien, Frankrike och arabländerna var redan stationerade i öknen, där förhållandena var utomordentligt krävande. De kunde inte stanna där hur länge som helst. Presidenten var orolig för att alliansen skulle falla ihop innan Saddam gav vika. Generalerna ombads att förklara hur de tänkte återta Kuwait. Ordern gjorde Norman Schwarzkopf ursinnig. De trupper som han ledde hade sänts ut för att försvara Saudiarabien. Schwarzkopf ansåg att de var för få för att storma Kuwait och besegra en armé med dubbelt så många soldater som de själva hade. Han var rädd att presidentens otålighet kunde bädda för en militär katastrof.
God, they're great, aren't they? Colin called me and said, I want you to send an offensive option back. And I objected strongly. I said, look, I've told everybody all along, we do not have the forces on the ground to conduct an offensive option.
My view was, well, that's all right, you know, it's a work in progress. Bring it back to the United States. Let us brief it and we'll all see where we are.
Bara 3 dagar senare sändes Schwarzkopfs planeringschef, överstelöjtnant Joe Purvis, hem för att informera presidenten och hans medarbetare. Purvis hävdade att den bästa lösningen vore att kringgå det irakiska flankförsvaret. Men både han och Schwarzkopf ansåg att resurserna bara räckte till för ett frontalangrepp. Datorerna förutspådde 10 000 man i döda och sårade.
When I put up the view graph that had the graphics on it, showing the military operation, the arrow pointing straight into Kuwait from Saudi Arabia, General Scowcroft immediately responded by that that didn't look right to him. Why are you attacking into the strength of the Iraqi defense?
My first question is, why don't you go around to the west? And the answer was, well, we don't have enough gas trucks. We'll run out of gas when we're up there on the shoulder. We can't do that. It's not a feasible option. And maybe something, we don't know what kind of sand there is or something. But I was pretty appalled.
The military were saying, here's the way we'd have to do it, in a manner that would suggest extraordinary a number of casualties and a large price to pay.
This was an effort, however conscious or unconscious, to basically say, this is going to be a near-run thing, and the casualties are going to be very high. And maybe we ought not do this. I think that there was very little enthusiasm in the American military for, in fact, throwing Saddam out of Kuwait militarily.
I wasn't trying to frighten them. I wanted to make sure they understood the significance of the operation we were thinking about. This wasn't going to be just a simple walk in the woods, drop a few bombs and they'll all go home the way the Egyptians and the Saudis and the Turks were telling my political colleagues. And these were all gentlemen who had never really been in a major war. And so what I was trying to do is make sure they understood what we were doing and the difficulties of what we were doing, especially when it came to a ground plan. And I think the ground plan is what scared them all to death.
Den kvällen bröt en förtroendekris ut i den amerikanska ledningen. Politikerna undrade om det var de rätta generalerna som hade befälet.
And I went immediately to Cheney and said, you know, just can't happen. If this is what we're going to get, then we'll just have to find a different way to do the military planning.
I shared Brent's concern, and I wanted to send a message through the organization that said, guys, we mean business. Now, one way or another, we're going to get an option put together that allows us to launch offensive action to go after the Iraqis. What I told them was, don't panic. This is a solvable problem, and we will come up with a plan that you will find workable.
Colin Powell reste skyndsamt till Saudiarabien för att tala med Schwarzkopf. De visste att försvarsminister Cheney var på väg att bilda en egen grupp i Washington som skulle planera offensiven om de själva drog ut på tid. Schwarzkopf förklarade vad han ansåg skulle krävas om presidenten ville börja krig. Han bad Powell om stöd.
When Colin came over for his briefing, I pointed out all of my trepidations. And the conclusion of that was Colin said, okay, if you are going to be required to attack, you will have the forces that you need. That was very reassuring to me.
Colin Powell återvände till Vita huset.
So, Mr. President, if you direct us to attack in order to eject the Iraqi army out of Kuwait, this is how we're going to do it.
They asked for the 7th Corps, the two heaviest divisions in the American army out of Europe, which totally weakened NATO. They asked for 6 carrier battle groups. And then the political poison pill, they asked for the activation of the National Guard and the Army Reserves. The force represented in these 3 requests was just awesome, overwhelming, not to mention the cost. The president pushed his chair back, said, you've got it, and if you need more, come see me.
I left that meeting after that with a firm decision, no question about it, that sanctions had about 3 months left to produce a result. And if they did not...